John chapter 6. John is the book of belief. It is designed to take a person from almost no knowledge, or actually no knowledge about Jesus, to full knowledge of Him. That is, the knowledge that you would need to be an earnest, sold-out believer. And it says over in the latter part of that chapter that some of the folks were asking Jesus a question. They said, "What shall we do? What can we do that we may work the works of God?" You ever wondered about that? What kind of changes would you and I need to have made in our life so that we could really do God's work? Well, I want to give you today a key to that. In fact, it is an extremely significant key. It is one that I believe would turn many lives around, and if it would not be the turnaround thing, it would be one of the key turnaround things. Now, look in your Bible, if you will, John chapter 6, and look at verse 2. It says, "And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw the miracles which He did on them that were diseased." Now, is that a good motive or a bad motive for following Jesus? Think about that just a moment. And then after you've thought about that for just a moment, look down at verse 26, where it says this, "Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Now, is that a good motive or a bad motive? Think about that for just a moment. And then read the next verse. It says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Now, stop there. There's the heart of what I want to say. Notice the word perisheth, and then notice the word endureth. It says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, the Bible. And Father, we pray now that along with the Scripture today and all the power that it contains, that we might have the power of Your precious Holy Spirit. Come today, Lord, like the rushing mighty wind that we read about in Acts, and touch this place, I pray. Touch these people and start, I pray, dear God, by touching me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have been pleased with the number of Crooked Creekers that have been a part of the crusade this week and for the past 2 weeks. I think it represents a good percentage of our folk who have been there many nights and some every night, and have been very pleased about that. And I know that many of you have had this great inner conflict going on in your heart for the past 2 weeks, and you will have it again this week because the crusade has been extended. And that inner conflict is the conflict of what exactly is my duty this week. Have you noticed that conflicts have come up as you've tried to go to the crusade? Things have happened that have kind of gotten in your way. One of the things, one of my preacher friends came into the crusade, and I noticed that he looked a little natty. You know, his coat didn't look exactly right, and his tie was kind of twisted over. And he said, you know, he said, this crusade has been a strain on my wardrobe. It really has. Have you found yourself this week wondering or asking your wife or asking your mom, do I have anything clean to wear tonight?
And then if that fails, saying, do I have anything kind of close to clean to wear tonight? Do I have anything that's not obviously dirty? I was on my way to the crusade one night, and I reached down and I felt of my tie, and it was kind of twisted over here to the side. I was already there, and I'd already been holding Jay. If you know anything about holding children, they love to swing from a necktie. They just love that. And whatever, you know, side they end up swinging from last, that's where your tie is. And so I looked down that, and then my lapel was just kind of curled up here, like it was trying to become a funnel. And I just kind of looked down. I was really kind of natty looking. And then one day I was on my way there, and I went, and there was that mystery phantom smell. And I wondered if that mystery phantom smell was yesterday's perspiration, or I wondered if it was something else. You know, you just don't really know. And so you just kind of get so busy, and you wonder about, you know, wow, what's my duty? Do I need to go home and take care of these things, or what needs to happen here? Do I need to, you know, just where's my duty here? Also, I'm sure that a lot of you have been there, and your spouse has said, now, tomorrow, are we going to do this over here that we really need to do? Are we going to go to the crusade like we need to do? What are we going to do? Which of the need-to-dos are we actually going to do? Well, what do you do in that kind of situation? How do you decide what is the right thing to do? Well, the wisest thing to do, first of all, is to look into the Scripture and see what Scripture says, because it never changes and it's always right and it always has light in every situation. Now, one of the things about understanding Scripture is that you have to begin to catch the themes that are in Scripture. You'll see things repeated over and over again. That's a theme in Scripture. And one of the themes that you see is the twin but conflicting themes of temporal versus eternal. Temporal versus eternal. Now, I need to explain those two terms as they relate to Scripture. Temporal is the word that we get temporary from. And it refers to something that will only last for a time, for a certain amount of time. Whereas eternal, on the other side, refers to those things that will last forever throughout eternity. Now, what does God say about that? Well, you remember verse 27 that I just talked about? It says, labor not for that meat which perisheth. Now, would meat that perishes, would that be temporal, or would that be eternal? It'd be temporal, wouldn't it? God says, don't go after, don't exercise all your energy for those things that are just going to be temporary. Don't do that. He said, instead, exercise yourself toward those things that are going to be eternal, that are going to be lasting in your life. Now, I need to, at this time, kind of go back to something here. You know, Brother Larry, the thing that struck me, I think, most that you shared with me under the tent that day at the prayer meeting was what he said about this thing of temporary and eternal. He said, you know, Brother Tom, he said, I remember being back in a great revival in our church in Lawrenceville many years ago. He said it was a mighty sweeping revival. And he said, I remember in that revival, I got to the point where nothing mattered to me but getting back to the house of God and hearing the man of God preach the Word of God. That is, nothing mattered to me but eternal things. He said, and this is the thing that got me. He said, it didn't matter to me that the grass was getting this high. And then as he thought about it, the grass grew. Because I noticed his hands going like that. He said, it didn't matter to me that the grass was this high. And I thought, Brother Larry, that's the essence of it right there. I said, sometimes you have to ignore or postpone the temporal to give enough time for the eternal, don't you? Have you found yourself doing that this week or last week or week before last? You saw something at your house that was screaming at you, "I need to be taken care of." And you had to walk out of there and say, "Later, dude. Not right now. I'm going to the house of God." Now, can I ask you something? Have you ever felt kind of ambivalent about that and think, I know I'm doing the right thing, but God, am I really doing the right thing here by walking out and leaving all these things that seem like responsibilities? Well, as I thought about that, I thought about two things. There have been a lot of people from about 30 churches who have supported that tent crusade. This past week, I got some evidence that those people are doing the right thing. Now listen to this. This is the report that came in from the pastor who is chairman of the counseling committee for the Tent Crusade. He says this, "Dear brothers, what an amazing 2 weeks we've seen with God moving in such a powerful way. Many churches are being greatly impacted by God's moving in visible ways, such as at the altar each night, and many others are reporting God moving in strongholds of the enemy within their people's lives. Though we've not seen that revival breakout night yet, we believe it's coming. What we have seen is nothing short of remarkable. To the best of our ability to keep track with all this taking place, we recorded on the attachment sent with this report the cards we've received today. With what has been reported to us each night, approximately 126 salvation decisions have taken place, with hundreds more rededications and other decisions. Lawsuits were dropped as a result of the night forgiveness was preached on, and reconciliations are continuing to happen. All these decisions are indicators that God is preparing hearts for these last days," and he goes on. Now, can I ask you something? Were those people who showed up at the tent meeting, who were involved in those things, were they doing the right thing to leave the temporal things behind? Well, clearly they were. Absolutely they were. As a result of hundreds of people, and actually thousands of people, leaving behind the temporal things, postponing the temporal things, God has been able to do some amazing and wonderful things. Can I tell you something? If you want one of the keys to being in the blessing of God and having joy in your latter years, one of those things is to postpone the temporal and do the eternal. Postpone the temporal and do the eternal. Postpone the temporal and do the eternal. Now, all that time that Larry's grass was growing and not being cut, he was also raising grass and probably weeds out in the backyard, but in the house, he was raising two boys. And those two boys were being taught to postpone the temporal and do the eternal. You folks have met those two boys. How'd they turn out? How'd they turn out? That's two boys to die for, I'd say. Now they're two men that are hard to beat. One of them is one of the key workers in his local church. He is a layman. The other one is on the mission field. And oddly enough, Larry, the day that I talked to you, the day that you were telling me about that, I got an email from your son, who, by the way, happens to be Becky's son, too. I'm kind of talking about Larry, but Becky's the real key to this. Anyway, listen to what that son says on the mission field. He said, "We're excited to hear about the good things the Lord is doing for our area of Georgia. We pray that this is just the beginning of genuine revival. We're keenly aware that a revival there brings great results not only in Northeast Georgia, but can have long-lasting effects even in other parts of the world. Now, he is just about to say something. He just said something, but he's about to say something very significant right here. You remember my saying that Larry and Becky were in that church where there was tremendous revival in Lawrenceville back in the 80s and along that period of time? Listen to what this missionary says about that, their son. I'm avoiding using his name because this gets on the internet, okay? Listen to it. He says, I believe the revival that touched my life years ago is the key reason our family is in blank today. In other words, think about it. He said, my family left the temporal, they left the grass, they left the dishes, they left the clothes dirty in the hamper, except the ones that they put on to go to the revival meeting. They left the temporal behind, and left the temporal behind, and left the temporal behind, and kept participating in the revival, and God blessed, and God did a great thing. And as a result of it, God changed the course of the lives of not only their children, but also a bunch of people over there on the mission field. Can you imagine how many folks have been saved over there because of what happened here 30 years ago, 25 years ago? It is astonishing. Why? Because somebody left the temporal, postponed the temporal so that they could accept. Now, here's a theme in Scripture. The theme is the temporal versus the eternal. You see it again and again. Look in your Bible at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are, there's one of those words, temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, beloved, all this week, you've had your choice of looking at all those temporal things that are in your life that have been screaming at you to get me done, or you can look at those things that you can't see, like what God is doing in the hearts of your children, what God is doing in the hearts of other people, and you've had your choice of looking at one or the other, and God said, look, I want you to understand that some things are temporal and some things are eternal. Now, what things are temporal? Things are temporal like things that relate to wealth and possessions and position in life and fame and sexual pleasure and gastronomic pleasure and things like washing clothes and cutting grass, and all those things are temporal. What things are eternal? There are things like souls, yours and others. There's the church. The Bible is eternal. Training of your children is eternal. But it's odd, isn't it? Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus came over? It's a very interesting story. The Bible says that Jesus is in the living room of their home. That's the way I perceive it anyway. He's in the living room of their home, and He is talking and teaching the truth of God. It's very interesting. Mary, one of the sisters, is sitting there at Jesus' feet, just soaking it all up, soaking up what Jesus is saying. On the other hand, Martha is out in the kitchen, and Martha is cooking. Now, Someone might say, well, Mary is, she is getting, doing the good thing, and Martha is doing the evil thing. Is that true? Was what Martha was doing evil? Is it evil to cook? I hope not. Because there are some of us who really do enjoy it when somebody does it. It's not evil to cook. I mean, Martha wasn't out there, doing any real bad things, as far as I know it. She wasn't out there smoking weed, was she? She wasn't out there cursing. She wasn't out there gossiping. It wasn't bad stuff that she was doing. But what she was doing was a temporal thing. And Jesus, when Martha finally got frustrated and said, tell my stinking sister to help me, I threw in the stinking part. Tell my sister to help me. Jesus looked at her and he said, Martha, Martha. He said, you are cumbered about with much serving. He said, you're doing all of this temporal stuff, and Mary hath chosen the good part that can't be taken away from her. Now, I find that interesting that Jesus did not rebuke Mary for what she was doing. He rebuked Martha, but not because she was doing something bad, but because she was not getting the best thing in life. See, beloved, choices in life are not often between the good and the evil. Most of the time, they're between the good and the very best thing that you can have. But we have this tendency to get zeroed in on these temporal things. I think a lot of you ladies could probably identify with Martha, could you not? It's that mode that you get into on Thanksgiving. When everybody is coming over to your house and you're going to cook all that stuff. You know, I found out if everybody's coming over our house on Thanksgiving, I don't say nothing. I don't get in that woman's way. You know, I just kind of stay back. I say, yes, ma'am, I'll get whatever you want. You know, and I will, because I know that good things are coming. But I also know she's concentrating on that. Well, that was the mode that Martha was in that day. She said, I've got things to do. I've got to get this done. You know, that's a trap. A lot of times when we are so involved in certain things, and those certain things keep out spiritual things, it becomes an incredible danger, does it not? Can I ask you, are there temporal things in your life that are hindering spiritual things right now? I didn't say bad things. I just said, are there temporal things? Things that are temporary, that are not going to be worth a hill of beans in 100 years, that are hindering your spiritual life now? If so, God wants to deliver you and help you to lay those things aside and do what needs to be done. I had the most interesting experience. Thursday night, was it? Thursday night, I think. We were there at the crusade, and as all of you know who've been there, I was over on the far right-hand side, and some of our young men had been talking to this young man that Matthew Lee brought to the crusade. And they had been witnessing to him. Apparently, he was totally new to Christianity. He had some Asian blood in him. He didn't really have an Asian name, but he had some Asian blood. And they had been talking with him and witnessing to him. And so, anyway, he ended up coming down the aisle down there. And I met him and began to talk with him about the Lord. And as I talked with him, I realized that he wasn't quite there yet. He didn't have quite all the information that he needed yet. He needed a little bit more instruction, and he wasn't really able to get saved right then. And so as I talked with him, I said, now, I'll call him John. That's a good name, isn't it? And I said, John, I'd like to sit down with you. Let's make an appointment and let me sit down with you and share some scripture, share more, explain more about this. And he looked at me, and with the most sincere look that you've ever seen in your life, he said, I'd like to do that. He said, but you'd have to give me about 2 weeks' notice. I wanted to scream and say, man, don't you realize you're talking about your eternal soul? And we're going to have to wait 2 weeks to do this? But then I looked at him, and I saw the innocence in his face. He went on to explain. He said, you see, he said, I'm in the University of Georgia. Apparently the guy was taking a full load at the University of Georgia. And he said, and I've got two jobs. Now, when he told me that, I had two reactions. Number one, I admire a young man like that, don't you? Who has that kind of determination, that kind of grit to get through school, to get it done, to become a productive citizen. I admire someone like that. And yet, my heart was grieved because I saw what was happening there. The temporal things in his life were squeezing out the eternal things. The temporal things were taking up all the time so that he didn't have time for the spiritual things. And I thought, what a tragedy. The truth is that he would have been better off walking into the registrar's office or whatever, University of Georgia, and saying, I'm going to withdraw for a semester from school. I'm going to spend that time studying the Bible. I'm going to take care of my soul's salvation. I'm going to begin my spiritual growth. And then after I take this semester off to take care of all these spiritual things, then we'll go back to school. Now, is that true or is that not true? In the long run, he would have been, because what happens with a driven person like that is that they drive through school, but then they establish these patterns in their life that are unspiritual, and they marry somebody, but that drive keeps driving them, and the drive eventually drives them and their life partner apart, and they end up with a broken family, and it takes all the money that they make with that great career to support the do the child support and all those things, and they end up with broken families and broken health from that drive, and it's just a tragic thing. Beloved, the greatest day in your life, the most liberating day in your life, is when you make that decision. I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. I'm not going to let anything get in the way of the eternal things. I'm not going to let anything get in that way. I'm going to do those things first, and then I'm going to understand that, well, do you know that God promises that He'll take care of those other things? Your grass will eventually get cut. If you go to Larry's house now, the grass is cut. I feel sure it is cut anyway. Yeah, okay. And Becky's dishes are washed. You put them in the dishwasher. And those things eventually get done. But did you know Jesus actually said that? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's eternal, right? The kingdom of God. And what did he say next? He said, and all these things, the temporal things, shall be added unto you. And you watch that happen. It will happen. See, if John, that young man, if that'll ever click with him, if he'll ever say, you know what, this education thing, it's going to take care of itself. But I need to take care of the spiritual things first. Now, what is that temporal thing in your life that is in your way right now? What is it? What is pushing it out? What's pushing out the spiritual things, the eternal things right now? Identify it and lay it down on God's altar and say, God, I'm going to lay this before you. Now, Can we ever completely ignore the temporal thing? I mean, right, we have to work, right? You have to work. You have to eat. But you know what? When you get to the point where it is standard procedure in your life to let the temporal things go and take care of the eternal things, there's just a sweet joy and a satisfaction that comes with it. The disciples came back one day and they found Jesus. Jesus had been ministering to this woman, this Samaritan woman. He had been helping her. And they began talking to him, and something he said made them think that he had already eaten. And they began to ask, "Did you bring him some food? Did you bring him some food?" And couldn't figure that out. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Now, he wasn't talking about physical food. He was talking about the work that he had to do. He said, "I have sacrificed the temporal food for the thing that really matters. I've sacrificed the temporal for the eternal. I have meat to eat." And once you learn to sacrifice the temporal for the eternal, then it becomes such a blessing to you. It's just such a rejoicing to you. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?